Luke's Gospel again, please, and chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Good to see you all tonight. Glad you're able to come. Trust you've had a good day and that you'll have an even better evening through the preaching of the Gospel. Luke chapter 10, and we'll commence reading, please, down at verse 30. And Jesus answering said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee." Trust that God will bless to us his precious word. Now, if you were here last night, you'll remember that we started looking at the very last journey that the Lord Jesus ever took on earth before he was crucified. We saw that the first 9 chapters up to about the middle of chapter 9 of Luke's Gospel are taken up with the first 33 years or so of the life of the Lord Jesus. But from chapter 9 until chapter 23, the very last journey is the subject of those chapters, which should indicate to us just how important in the eyes of the writer of this gospel that journey was. It was just the last few weeks of the life of the Lord Jesus. And we saw that at the beginning of that final journey taken by the Lord Jesus, he informed his disciples that he would have to go up to Jerusalem, where he would be betrayed and he would eventually be crucified and rise again the third day. That was just the first of at least 3 occasions in which the Lord Jesus informed the disciples of what lay ahead of him. Now, what would you do if you knew that at the end of a particular journey you were going to be put to death? I know what you would do. You'd do the very same thing as I would do. You'd have a change of plans. But not so the Lord Jesus. We come down to verse 52 of chapter 9, and there we read that he set his face steadfastly to go toward Jerusalem. He was determined to take that journey. And we saw that that journey, or at least the end of that journey, was the very purpose for which the Lord Jesus came into the world. He came in order that he might lay down his life for us at the cross, that he might bear the judgment that was due to you and me because of our sins. And so I suggested last night that from this point and onward, we see various statements that directly refer to this last journey, and there are other allusions to the journey. For example, we've got it here in these beautiful verses that we've read together about the Good Samaritan. We read the words, "A certain Samaritan as he journeyed." So there's the journey, the last journey that was taken by the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay. So I want us to think then about what the Lord Jesus is telling you and me in this beautiful parable. It actually has a double meaning. The initial meaning of it is, who is my neighbor? And we learn in this parable what it is to be neighborly. But behind all that is an illustration for you and me of the purpose for which the Lord Jesus came into the world. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. So the first thing I want us to notice about this man is he was going the wrong way. He was going the wrong way. We read in verse 30, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. He was going in the wrong way. Jerusalem is the city of the great king. It's God's city. On the other hand, Jericho was the city of the curse. I won't go into the details this evening as to why it's known as the city of the curse. It would take too much time. But it is the city of the curse. And this man was on this journey. That's where he was heading. That was his intention, was to go down to Jericho. He never reached it. You know, the thing about this man on his journey is, when he started the journey, he had no idea whatever what was going to happen on that journey. He never knew the events that were going to take place. Last night, I made reference to that terrible accident in Saskatchewan the other day, 2 days ago. 15 people died in a bus crash. Not one of them would have anticipated, when they started on that journey, that 15 of them would never get out of that journey alive, that they were going to perish. And the majority of those poor people that died were teenagers. You know, the tendency to, when you're a teenager, is to think that you're invulnerable, that you've got a whole lot of life before you. In fact, even in my case, up until recent years, I seemed to have that feeling about me. I seemed to bypass all sorts of diseases and all sorts of things. And you get that feeling that it's just going to go on and on forever. Well, this man never knew what was going to take place. You know, what that teaches me is this. Just how important it is that we make preparation for when we die. It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. So the man was going in the wrong way. And you know, the direction he was traveling, at least in picture, is the same direction as you and I have been heading ever since we've been in this world. We are on the wrong road. There was a point in our lives when we came to an understanding that we had sinned. And that moment we entered in through the wide gate that leads to destruction. That's the direction you're heading, my friend, if you have never, up until this point in time, received the Lord Jesus as your Savior. You say to me, well, why am I on that road? Why am I heading down to destruction? Well, it's because you have sinned. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I used to think that that verse was saying that all have sinned and all have come short of the glory of God, but that's not what it's saying. The verse is actually saying all have sinned, as to the past, and all do come short of the glory of God. That is, we've sinned in the past, and we persist in sinning. It's just part of our nature to sin. The problem is, we were born sinners. Most of you have often heard me say, we didn't become sinners when we sinned. We sinned because we were sinners. We were born that way. We were born with a sinful nature. So this man didn't know what lay before him. Then I want you to notice again, he almost met disaster. It says he fell among thieves. They stripped him of his raiment, and they beat him, and they left him half dead. Don't ask me how dead you have to be half dead, but the point is, he was in grave danger of dying. Now, you may not feel that you're in grave danger of dying, but I'm sure of this. Those 15 people that were on that bus 2 days ago, they didn't realize that they were so near to dying either. Tell me, if you had been one of those 15 who died in that bus crash, where would you be now? Where would you be now? Because you can be sure of this, that your soul would either be in heaven with Christ, or it would be in hell. Because there are only those two destinations. You'd be in one or the other. And it all depends on what you do with Christ. He was in grave danger. Then I want you to notice the people that came by. First of all, I want you to notice verses 31 and 32. And by chance, there came down, notice that, there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Did you notice? He was going in the same direction as the man was traveling. He was going down. If he was going down from Jerusalem, he was going down to Jericho. And you know, there are men that would consider themselves to be priests. And unfortunately for so many of them, they're on the same road as this man was on. They're on their way down. Because there has never been a moment in their life when they received Christ as their Savior. When we lived in England, I knocked on a door of a clergyman. I knew there was a clergyman living in that house. And when he answered the door and I offered him a tract and an invitation to meetings, the first thing he did was try to tell me that you couldn't rely on the Bible. Here's a religious leader. And he didn't believe the Bible to be the Word of God. I knocked on the door of two old ladies one time, nice old ladies. They went to church all the time. I couldn't persuade them that they were sinners. Oh, the people that live out there, they're sinners, but we go to church, we're not sinners. They're just like this priest. And that's why he went by on the other side. There was nothing he could do to help him. All he had was religion. Do you know what the difference is between religion and biblical Christianity? Religion is man reaching up, trying to find acceptance with God on the basis of his good works. That's religion. Biblical Christianity is God reaching down and plucking us as brands from the burning. That's biblical Christianity. So neither of these religious men, either the priest or the Levite, could do anything to help this man. You know, it never ceases to amaze me the number of people who've been and heard the gospel and somehow they became burdened about their sin and they decided to become religious. And they thought by becoming religious, they would appease their conscience. But it won't make any difference to where they're heading. They're going down. Religion can't save. You and I can't do enough good things to satisfy the claims of God. People try to tell us, as long as I do more good than bad, then everything should be all right. Part of the problem of that is, how can I know if I've done enough good? If my good works outweigh my bad works? But the other side of the coin is this. James tells us, if I keep the whole law, that is the law of Moses, and yet offend in one point, I am guilty of all. We have all sinned against God. And God requires that which is past. If you were to reform your life from this moment and onward, and for the rest of your life, if it were possible, not commit one single sin in thought, word, or deed, you would still have to give account of the sins that you've already committed. Okay. So, they couldn't help. Now let's think then about the Good Samaritan. Notice what it says in relation to the Good Samaritan, verse 33. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, he was on a journey. He was heading somewhere. And what we are seeing here is this very last journey that the Lord Jesus took when he came into the world. He was on his way to the cross. The Lord Jesus was going to the cross in order to lay down his life for the likes of you and me. He was going to pay the price for our sins. Listen, there is no salvation for anybody apart from the work of Christ upon the cross. He could say, I am the way, the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. Two things in that verse. Number one, there's only one Savior, and that's the Lord Jesus. Number two, salvation is a necessity. It's not an alternate way of getting to heaven. We must be saved. If you don't get saved, you'll never see God's fair heaven. Now listen, there's only one reason why the Lord Jesus can save. Not because he's God, although that's part of it. Not because he was born in Bethlehem, although that's part of it. But because he laid down his life for us at the cross. He bore our sins, Peter says, in his own body on the tree. Christ also has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Paul puts it this way, God has made him, Christ, to become sin for us, he who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And in 3 hours of darkness on the cross, the Lord Jesus endured God's wrath against sin in order that you and I might be able to have our sins forgiven. And as I mentioned last night, not only did he bear the price for our sins, but he actually died. He literally died. But he rose again triumphantly on the third day. And if you and I could take a trip to heaven tonight, we would see one on the throne who is as real as this podium. The man Christ Jesus, sitting on heaven's throne, God's beloved Son. So he's on a journey. Then I want you to notice that it says of him, he saw him and came where he was. A certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was and saw him and had compassion. So he came where he was. And that's exactly what the Lord Jesus did. Christ saw you and me in our sinfulness. He saw us where we were, and he came to where we were. He entered into the human family. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He actually became a human being in order that he might acquire the capacity to lay down his life for us. He came where he was and he saw him. Do you know the Lord Jesus sees you? He knows everything about you. He knows the number of the hairs on your head. He knows the thoughts that are passing through your mind at this very moment of time. There is nothing he doesn't know about you. He knows everything about you. He saw him. He had compassion. Oh, the marvel of the love of Christ. You know, when Christ hung on the cross, he was there on the behalf of the people who cried, "Away with him, crucify him." He was there on the behalf of Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him for 30 pieces of silver. He was there for Peter, who denied him. He was there for the Roman soldiers, who pierced his hands and his feet. He was there for the Pharisees and the scribes that mocked him as he hung upon the cross. He was there for you and me. The Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. He had compassion upon him. Then I want you to notice verse 34 says, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine. He met his need. You see, that's what the Lord Jesus wants to do for you. He has paid the price for your sin. There is no reason on earth why you shouldn't be saved. You can be saved because Christ has paid the price by his death upon the cross. You can be saved. There's nobody in this world that can't be saved. Norman was speaking to us from John 3:16 last night. For God so loved who? The world. Who's that? Why, that's everybody. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, who's that? That's anybody. Believing in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He met his need. And Christ, by his death, has made salvation available to you and me. You know, this poor man lying by the roadside, he wasn't going to protest about this Samaritan. He was the very last person, by the way, who thought he would help him. I'm sure as he was lying there by the roadside, when he saw the priest come by, he thought, oh, here's the help that I need. But the man passed by on the other side. Same with the Levite. But the Samaritan? The Samaritans were despised by the Jews. He was the one that met his need. The Lord Jesus is the despised Nazarene. He's the one that paid the price for our sin. And he's the one that can meet our need. Then notice it says, he set him on his beast. It reminds me of the story of the lost sheep. When the shepherd found the sheep that was lost, he laid it on his shoulders and he carried it all the way home. That poor sheep didn't have to walk 50 yards. He was carried all the way home. And when you trust the Lord Jesus as your Savior, He does all the saving. Okay. Then I want you to notice again in verse 34, he arranged for his care. He set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I return, I will repay thee. No, to me this is amazing. Why didn't the man just say, well, when he's healed, he'll pay for his recovery? But the man couldn't do that, could he? He'd been robbed of all that he had. So he gave him the 2 pence, and he said, take care of him, and when I come again, I will repay thee. Do you know the Lord Jesus is coming again? The Lord Jesus is coming home to take home to heaven all those that have trusted him. That could be your experience if you were to acknowledge your need as a sinner and receive Christ as your Savior.